The Psychedologist.
Welcome back to The Psychedologist. Gabi Dias is originally from Brazil and now works in New York City as an educator of consciousness integrated with the physical body. She is a Reiki master and a forever student. She is also initiated into shamanic wisdom, tantra, sacred death and birthing doula, and an energy intuitive healer. In this episode, we talk about Gabi's history, her awakening in 2019, and her path with plant medicines, shamanism, tantra, doula work, and more. Welcome back to The Psychedologist, Gabi.
Thank you so much. Housh, housh, housh.
Housh, housh. You were right. I'm saying it all the time now.
Yes, it's just contagious. It's this energy that really takes over. So it's good that we keep spreading it.
So tell us about your relationship to consciousness as a child.
So growing up, I was raised in this very loving family that was very religious. And I had this gut feeling that I just didn't fit in that religion. So I think that was my first relationship to consciousness, having the awareness that something that I needed to change. Although at the time as a child, I didn't have the tools. So that was when my questions came and my wanting to be more myself and wanting to know more about the universe. But living in that environment, it was challenging in some ways, and in other ways, it also taught me resilience. And now I can say that in 2019, I was going through some challenges in my life. I felt like the energy was stuck. I had a lot of questions, and that was my second contact with consciousness. Now as an adult, I just became aware that I had a responsibility in the things that weren't moving in my life. So that's when things really opened up. But it all ties back to that experience in childhood. It's all connected.
Yeah, I relate to that awakening of realizing like what we are responsible for and also what other people are responsible for. I think part of that as well.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like we do these agreements as a kid because we feel like we need to belong. We're mammals. And so the primal brain is in survival mode. It wants to be loved, it wants to belong, it wants to be fed. But then we become adults, we grow up, and then we have the tools. Sometimes we have the tools. And that's when I realized that, wow, so much has happened there. How can I do this out of authenticity now? Rather moving through my life with love rather than fear. And I feel like there was the awareness, the consciousness that was always there when I was a child. This gut feeling that I said. And now having the tools to make those changes and acknowledge what happened there in the past with those people, with my love, family, find forgiveness and move on.
So it seems like you've had some innate connection to consciousness and like greater truths, but along your path, you've also studied and learned some things that brought you deeper into this.
Yeah. So in 2019, when I was going through this moments that I shared with you, I was actually listening to a podcast and I heard about plant medicine, ayahuasca, and I felt something about that experience that I was hearing. I was like, wow, I may want to do this, but I didn't know where to go. I didn't know a person who had been there. So I found this person who was coming to New York to serve the medicine. And it took a few months, but one day out of nowhere, he just told me, hey, I'm coming to New York next week. And I was like, whoa, okay. I need to think about this. And he said, you just got to make a decision. And then I said, okay, I have asked for this and I'm ready. I'm ready to move on and to live this experience. And at the same time that I found that person, I found out about Tantra. So Tantra has been a great tool in my path. It's like a science. We have a lot of concepts about Tantra in the society, but what Tantra really is this seeing when you are born, when you die, and everything in between. So I shared about religion, and religion teaches us that when we are here, we are sinners, and when we die, we'll get enlightened. But through Tantra, you learn that you can only evolve through experience. So then we honor each experience as a human. And that was so deep to me when I listened to those teachings. Also, along with the plant medicine, I got to learn about shamanism. And I feel that was completely reality changing to me, because I was so limited in this believing that the world was just inside of this box. And then now, next thing I know, I'm in the ceremony and my reality shattered in a beautiful way. I have a new perception of my body, of the divine, and it's just spiritual, not religious. So I felt that in that experiences, I did belong and I found a community. I also found more magic, because in shamanism, we connect a lot of the nature with the elements. I had some experience with North Americans and Sweat Lodge, all sorts of different medicines. So for that, I'm so grateful. Tantra and shamanism, they bring us these sacred rituals that are forgotten in today's society. And that to me is just an honor.
Wow, I have so many questions. And you mentioned from the beginning of our life to the end of our life. I had never heard that framing, that that's what Tantra was about. I'm aware that you also help people at the beginning of their life and their end of their life.
So yes, I'm also a birth doula and a death doula. So as a birth doula, I'm a sacred birthing doula. I went to Hawaii. That's where my teacher is. She's amazing. She's this beautiful elder. And since it's sacred, we see the birth experience as holistic. So I could either be there just in the labor, but the goal is to really support the couples before they even have the conception, to really get on their stories and bring this being to this world with intention. There is this saying that I learned is, do you want to be a mother or in a father, or do you want to have kids? And then when we meditate on that, it's so deep when we bring a human life to this world. And there is so much fear around the experience of labor, so much fear around becoming a mom and a dad. It's a rite of passage. We don't spend enough time teaching parents that when they have a child, besides having a child, they are also born now as parents, you know. So sometimes we say, want to come over and visit the baby, but it's important to come and say, like, do you need help with your laundry? Do you need help with your dishes? Can I cook you some food? Because a lot of the times we receive babies and we buy things, and the babies really just need love. And for those parents to hold space for their life, to anchor it, we need to take care of them so that they can show up for their beautiful baby. And the death doula.
I have a question first.
Yeah.
When you said, do you want to be a mother or a father, or do you want to have kids?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I guess the distinction there is like, to be something, it's more, I don't know, it's more true, more from coming from a good place, whereas to have something is more like possessive or like narcissistic or for your own means, even though I think people don't realize that. I've gone through some processes of seeing that in my own family of like, who is it for? Like, it, you know, and in my relationship with my mom, like, I don't know. I think she wanted to have kids.
So there is, again, we're talking about consciousness, right? So there is so much unconsciousness. I would just say this in a general context. Of course, I know some people really have consciousness during this process, but we live on this pattern of just going to college, having a job, getting married, buying the house, buying the car, and then having the kids. And when I say, do you want to be a mom and a dad, or do you want to have kids? It's more like you have the kids and then you just take them to Disney and buy them these clothes and make them look cute. But when the kids go through their emotional process, you're not there. So you are not there as being this mother, being this father. And there's nothing to blame here, again, because it's all unconsciousness. So being conscious about wanting to be a mom and wanting to be a dad is understanding that there is so much more to this child that I can give besides giving all these toys and taking them on vacations. You know, they need you to be there. It's this alliance as a family. How can I help you to cry and just be there when you cry instead of trying to fix you? How can I teach you that spirituality is so big and so many options instead of trying to impose my views? Because that's the surrendering to becoming parents. It's really just respecting this human. I like to say that I'm here to be a doula and make this experience welcoming. A lot of the times we just end up imposing things on kids or worrying too much about the money and about this and that. And that's all valid, but there are many layers to being that family. And we are all learning as society because trauma starts in childhood. Oftentimes, up until 5 years old, we are absorbing the energies around us. Even if you're not in the same room where if your parents are having an argument, you feel that. Being aware of those facts and showing up for those kids and really just showing up and surrendering to who they are. So I'm here for you. I see you. Not trying to mold you.
And to really show up for their kids, I think they need to know how to show up for themselves.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's why it goes back to what I shared of before they even get pregnant, doing that work on themselves. And so necessary. Self-care. Also parents, I just said they are just born. So lowering the expectations of hosting people and this, that, just enjoying these moments that never come back.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm satisfied. Tell me about the death doula work.
So the death doula work is so necessary because in the Western world, we don't create room for grief. So when I say death doula, you can look at it from holding someone's hand on the deathbed, holding someone's hand when they go through a breakup, or when they lose a job. We are constantly dying. When we are born, that's the beauty of being a human. We just know that's coming for us. And they say in Tantra, if you live your life as a party, then when the moment comes to you, you won't have anything to regret. You won't have the fear. You won't have the fear to go to hell or whatever people believe, because paradise is here. And really allowing this soul to live peacefully, because part of the death doula is preparing the loved ones to also learn to let go. One thing that I learned as a death doula is, for example, if we like to accumulate things, material possessions, if we have a hard time letting go in this life, then in the moment of death, it's hard for you to leave this body because there's attachment there. So as a death doula, just doing this preparation, this awareness, and I could also be a death doula to integrate abortions, miscarriages. We are constantly, every day, we are leaving at nine. It's a cycle and it's in eternity. I also study energy healing. So energy never ceases to exist. And when we understand that, we can start dissolving the fear because we just know it's a evolution. So, wow, good. I've been here. I evolved. I've done great. I lived this life of consciousness or not. There is no right or wrong, the duality. I just lived. So ready for next and embracing this process. I'm so grateful to have this awareness because it also helps me on the work with plant medicine. I like to see the ceremony as a chance to die and to be born again. So how beautiful it is that we can come to a ceremony. We make this choice to get down there, let some things die in us so we can be born. Every time it can be your first day of your life and your last. It's all intertwined.
Absolutely. You said we die and then we come again. Can you say more about that?
Yes, I feel like when we come to this life, it's just this energy that when I was a child, I never knew a lot about afterlife. But the more I study spirituality, I do a lot of work with Akashic Records and hypnosis. I do have this deep feeling, and that's just my perspective. I always like to say that whatever I'm saying here, I also have a blog, whatever I write there is my perspective. And in my perspective, I feel like I've been here before, that I met some people before, that some of the things that happened to me are just a continuation of my evolution for my soul, and we all have our different perspectives and stories. So just surrendering to that and learning that, wow. In the Akashic Records, we say that everything is an information. So what is this information bringing to me about my story as a whole being? You get out of the limitation of having your vision closed and you have a broader perspective, the ego eye. And then, yeah, so I've been here before. This is all for my evolution. And I may die here as the death of the ego, right? I may die here as this attachment that I have. And I'll be born again because I'll have this new awareness. I'll be expanding. That's how I like to see this cycle of life and death. And I feel like that also happens in relationships. I study energy, so I like to imagine that we are energy balls and we are floating around. So we attract an energy ball here. We have this thing that we have to work together as a soul. And sometimes you can keep walking together because the energy is there and it's sustaining. And sometimes the energy just modifies and it transmutes. So you go floating around and you meet new people. So this cycle applies to everything when I start looking at it this way. And it makes things lighter because it's easier to let go of the attachment of, wow, I should just stay in this house for my whole life, or I should just stay in this relationship with this friend. Just because. And there is no just because. It's okay. Sometimes things need to die. And sometimes other things will be born.
Yeah, talking about staying in relationships makes me think of attachment. And like we were saying, you know, from childhood till age five, or, you know, and beyond, these formative experiences with
our parents, and did we feel loved and supported? Do we believe that we're lovable, and how that carries into adulthood, adolescence and adulthood, and, you know, early experiences in relationships. So I'd like to hear what your thought is about romantic relationships.
So that's a very interesting topic, because I feel like I choose this path that it's not that I'll just be here because I have to be here. I have had some beautiful relationships, so much love. But then, as I said, there was that awareness, that consciousness that was like, okay, you completed the cycle. So I embrace the cycles when it comes to love. And it is beautiful. We get together. But then if the cycle is done, I just let go. And I won't say that doesn't come without pain. Pain is also part of the process. I honor all those relationships. I really feel that, again, my perspective, but many of the problems in humanity is this difficulty to understand relationships out of this place of we don't have to stay here for the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. This is not a prison, it's love. And love is for us to expand, and we can choose to walk together and evolve together or not. And there is no issue with that. But it's a great suffering to the soul to stay in a relationship that's being failed already. Not failed in a place that, oh my God, this should never have happened. But I guess I'll take that word failure back, but it's just a completion. Oftentimes, relationships are complete, but we have so much beliefs, conditioning beliefs of how things should be. Also because of the whole teachings that we learned that comes from religion, especially that, well, you should never divorce. Divorce is something so bad. But going back to families and kids, if you think that your kids don't know their relationship is not working, they know, So sometimes the beautiful act, it is to let go. Sometimes it is to work on those issues together. And it really comes down to communication as well. Communication can be the biggest poison or medicine. And being able to talk to the partner and say, hey, this is my attachment. I feel anxious, or I feel avoidant, or I just don't feel safe here. In my relationship path, it's been really hard for me to communicate, because I grew in this environment that I wasn't really allowed to talk too much. I was raised in this totalitarian group that if you talk something that is disagreeing, you get shunned. So I had this pattern in relationships that I was never talking my truth, because I felt like if I said what I felt, I will get left by my partner. And honestly, that did happen sometimes, and that was okay, because then taught me how to honor myself. I feel like the first relationship is with yourself, with spirituality, meaning that could be Mother Nature, that could be religion, whatever makes you feel connected to the whole. And out of this place of being whole, a full cup, I meet with another full cup and we have this beautiful dance. If I am feeling empty and I need someone to validate me or to just prove something to me that I'm not proving to myself, I feel like that relationship is not coming out of a place of authenticity. Tantra teaches me that we have this energy body. So when I am with a partner, we can exchange the energy out of a place of unity and just have this energy as a generator. I feel like sexual relationships nowadays are also corrupted a little bit, because I don't know if I can mention porn on this podcast.
Sure.
boys watch porn so young. They are 10 years old, 15. And what is that teaching them? It's teaching them about a body that's not real. It's all added. Positions, sounds, and when they are with a real woman, they don't know what to do because they have this expectation. They are not here with this person. They are with that image in their mind. When our eyes see something, we desire. So you're just desiring that. And also for women, it's so cruel because that creates the whole expectation. I should be on this position, or I should make this sound. And really, we should just be with that person, breathe together and have the intimacy. So relationships are so deep to me, and I keep going on. I can talk about this for a long time.
Me too.
Housh.
Well, so what else do you want to talk about? I mean, I'd also like to hear what it's like to travel with Tue, but maybe there's more here in the relationship realm. I'll leave it up to you.
No, in the relationship realm, it's just really honesty with myself, so then I can be honest with my partner. There is a lot that I'm still learning about relationships, you know. Eventually, I do want to have a family, but I want to make sure that it's out of this place of being whole, so that I can show up for myself. Part of holding space is taking care of yourself. So important. And this culture that says that we get selfish and that praises self-sacrifice all the time, how beautiful it is to really get down and just be like, no, guys, I'm just going to take care of myself here. Because if I don't take care of myself, I can't take care of nobody else. About Tua, it's just a beautiful synchronicity. I used to go to the Sweat Lodge community in Brooklyn. And there's an elder that I love so much. One day he said, hey, can you help me talk to Tua? And I was like, sure, of course. And weeks later, here I am working with him, learning so much. I am Brazilian. And I haven't been home in a while because that's also part of my healing and my evolution. So I surrender to that. And the medicine just came my way. Acre, Brazil. It's so beautiful. When I met Duan, he said, hey, would you like to work with me? I want to extend my circles. I'd like to go there and go here. And I was like, okay, we got this. And we got it. So welcoming reception from people in New York City. We have had these beautiful circles, so much support. He is also a great human that I feel like we can have these talks that I just said. Relationships are not something to find, but they are something to be worked on. It's like building a house. And I feel like when I work with Tuan on this work partnership, I'm able to have talks with him. We always do check-ins. How are things going for you? And I can tell him about me. And we can hear about the other people who came to the circle and their experience and reflect. I also feel like this work with the medicine, sometimes you feel like you're going to hit a wall. You know, there are so many barriers. It's made difficult to us, but when I feel like I'm going to hit a wall, things happen and it just flows. And I'm like, okay, I got to just keep trusting the medicine. Keep trusting that there's a reason why Tuan is here and there's a reason why I am doing this. And yeah, the medicine with him is also so strong and different. I have seen some things in ceremony that I had never seen, and I am so grateful. Every ceremony, I feel so much love. He's always expressing how grateful he is to be part of this cultural interchange and how important this international support is. One thing that we must realize that when we are doing this work, many people are benefiting from it. Many, many people. It's beyond me just coming to a ceremony. Because we are supporting ourselves, we're supporting Tua, we are supporting everyone that comes in touch with us, imagine the ripple effect of that. They say that as you gain consciousness, you can also give another 144 people more consciousness, and that just keeps going and growing. So I have so much faith for humanity and this planet and for love. And we also help the jungle and help the kids there, the families there, because all this work is for the next generations. How can they live better? How can we show up for them? In the jungle, we have so much love. The nature gives us these medicines. And we have the privilege of having him come here. So being here is the way to give back to the jungle, to these families that are there. They go through a lot of challenges. For example, they had some floods this year. So thankfully, there was some fundraising for them to get back up again. You know, they don't have a supermarket. The supermarket is when they go hunting. Mm. And if there are floods, they can't really do that. The donations are supporting them to get food, to get materials, to build their homes again, cleaning supplies. So I am so grateful to be a part of this love, just a love bubble. And I know he's been here for a few weeks. I know that this is just the beginning. There's so much work to be done and so many people who are open. And it's just a beautiful opportunity. Thank you for interviewing him. I feel like, yes, the more we can expand this, the better. So I really appreciate you. As we are speaking, we are at a dear friend's house. And I also want to thank her. Yes. Hush,
hush. I have to say, I understand the healing reverberating out and healing many more people than just who's receiving. And it also brings up the pressure that can be as well. Any comment on that?
Yeah, I feel like one step of coming to a healing walk is to have no expectation. What I can say about that is that when I started my journey, I had no expectation of this ripple effect at all. But then I just saw it happening. So how beautiful. And we are not here to preach the truth. The way that you walk your life is for being. And one thing that I have to say that is really important about the plant medicine and about any healing work, similar to labor and birth, that ceremony or the healing work, it starts when you have the awareness, or starts before, when you have the awareness that something needs to change. During the work, which you can say that is like labor, and pulse, for like postpartum, post-ceremony, integration, post-healing work, and nothing can be done without practice and integration, putting what you learn into practice. So I feel like not much so much pressure about, oh my God, now I'm going to heal everyone. Just knowing that when you change your lifestyle, when you change your practice, people learn by just watching you. And you do that for yourself, of course. But eventually, things around you start changing. I like to say that the medicine doesn't change the world. It changes how you see the world. Therefore, the world changes. So when you change that way that you walk in your path, and a lot of the times people around you will be changing too, because we are all connected and we are always, there's this thing named influence continuum that is also connected to Tantra. There is this word in Portuguese that explains Tantra, which is like trama, similar to a spider web. So we are always doing this influence continuum. When we are energy bodies and the energy is shifting, things around you shift, people around you shift. So I wouldn't be too concerned about the pressure of, oh my God, now that I'm healing, I'm going to heal my mom. Because I'll tell you what, when you're talking about shadow work, my shadow was definitely the savior. And that's not a good place to be. Not so much of a savior, but really just trusting that as we change, there's this ripple effect that is just natural. It's not forced and it's not like, oh my God, it's just a flow.
I really believe that. Is there anything else that you'd like to share?
No, I feel like I am just grateful for the opportunity to be here with you now. I'm just grateful for the opportunity to find consciousness in so many different ways.
Speaking of that, what's your consciousness hack?
My consciousness hack. So I have a practice. I have discipline. I just share that integration is practice. So for example, if I go to a ceremony, I may not sit with the medicine for a long time. That's already a hack because it's not about how many journeys you go to, but it's about how you put that into your life, how you apply those teachings. My daily hack and practice is really just checking in. I have a journaling practice, yoga. I like to wake up pretty early, like 5 a.m. And they say that when you do that practice early in the morning, the world is very quiet. So your mind is quiet. And the journaling helps me to just remember, because it's easy to forget. It's easy to get caught up. And next thing you know, you are into trouble. And besides journaling, I like to just have this practice to listen to good music, to really not watch TV, eat well, nourish my relationships. Sometimes nourish just my relationship with myself and just be quiet. Yes, I definitely want to say that the journaling is the easiest and I totally recommend. And if you don't want to have a journal, sometimes what I do, I just go and I do a note on my phone. If I get that, it's like a samadhi or enlightenment. It's, in my perspective, it's not like when I die, I'm going to reach samadhi only. But you know when you have those aha moments and that insight? So that's also an enlightenment. And I like to write it down. It's just a reminder to stay and anchor myself. Yeah, I would like to say that definitely not watching TV anymore helped me. And yes, I would like to thank you once again. And thank you, thanks to your audience. It's so necessary, this work. I also like to say that I use healing, the word healing a lot. But sometimes I shift to just evolution because healing sometimes it may imply that there is something wrong with us. I believe that there is nothing wrong with us. It's just an evolution process. So it's a little thing that I wanted to share to your audience to really see that we are not broken. Nothing's wrong with us. Not sinners. We are here for a ride. So Tantra says life can be orgastic. And yes, aho, haush, haush.
Haush.
Obrigada.
Obrigada você.
The Psychedologist is Consciousness Positive Radio. Find us everywhere podcasts are hosted. For more information, visit us on Facebook or online at thepsychedologist.com.